So first, I want to start out by saying thank you again. Some of you are new here and you don't know what this congregation did this past spring. The congregation had the courage and the faith to step out and to commemorate 7 years of my service here as minister to take a three-month sabbatical. And you know, you never know what's going to happen. Certainly, we did know it was going to be, or we hoped it would be a time of rest and renewal, which it was. But I just have to thank you from the bottom of my heart once again, because what it also did for me was expanded my spiritual understanding of who I am. And that's no small feat. That's no small thing that happens, you know, for us. We can't plan that necessarily. I mean, we can, you know, pray for it and wish for it and affirm it and keep doing the work and keep working the laws and see what happens. But having some spaciousness to explore new ways and new things and new thoughts and new places really helped ignite that in me. So thank you again for that gift. So one of the things that happened was I went to Egypt, as many of you know. I met some new friends who invited me to something at Mount Shasta in June. And at the end of that experience, I went to this workshop with Carrie Jehan Guadalupe, who you heard about a little bit earlier if you were here, who's coming next Sunday to share the same workshop, or it won't be exactly the same, of course, but the basic idea of her the light language that she channels. So this light language is something, it seems to me, fairly emergent on the planet right now, part of our evolution. It's a there are various dialects, different ways it comes forth for people. And what it does kind of consistently is it bypasses our egos because our minds aren't engaged in some kind of making meaning. And it allows us to heal, to release things, to awaken to things. Different forms of light language and channelers will connect with us in different ways. This particular one just was absolutely profound for me. So I was thrilled when I went up to Carrie and said, by the way, where do you live? I'd love for you to come and be with my community and give a workshop. She said, oh, I'm in Sacramento. I was like, all right. So we got her signed up, and I think you'll really enjoy her. So anyway, I wanted to tell you a little bit about that because it's in the context of what today's talk is about, and which is the law of expansion. The law of expansion by its very essence is really about the fact that creation by its nature expands. You know, we are as creation, all of creation by its nature expands. That's really the law, but I've expounded a little bit more to say what happens for us. How do we work the law? So let's take a look. As I recognize who I am, my divine essence expands into lived experience. So that's a key, is the recognition of who we are. And that's what happened to me in that workshop, is that I heard, you have no idea who you are. And then through a series of movements my body was guided to do and visions that I had, I got to step into more of who I am. And it was so potent and powerful, and I know this is true for all of us, that we are much vaster, much more full, much more powerful, much more filled with light and love, and have much greater potential than we could ever know. We talk about this all the time. We get glimpses of it. We step into pieces of it. This was just a really pronounced experience. So the law of expansion is always happening for us if we, as all of these spiritual laws is true, if we work it. If we, it's happening, it's out there, right? The law of gravity is always available to us on the physical plane in the same way. The spiritual laws are always there. They're always happening. It's just when we awaken to them and we engage them and then we say, oh, how do I work this law? And this is how we work this law. You're going to expand no matter what. We're going to evolve no matter what in some way, somehow, right? We can do it kicking and screaming. We can do it through a lot of trauma and a lot of things that then need to be cleaned up and healed. Or we could do it in a way that has more peace and harmony and joy and potential in it that is more of a flow. So, and it doesn't say in the flow, in the divine path, that we won't have challenges. It's not like life, you know, ceases to be life on earth. There will always be challenges because that's part of how we grow and evolve. It's our skills and how we meet it because we are connected to the divine, when we are connected to the divine, when we are remembering who we are. So this law of expansion is part of, well, first let's say it's part of our unity mission statement here at Unity of Walnut Creek. Our unity mission statement is we are a loving, inclusive community. We say this every week. Expanding and living our divinity in sacred service for all. If you've ever wondered, well, what do we really mean by expanding our divinity? We're going to look into that a little bit more today. So this is part, as was mentioned a couple times, part of a bigger series. If you're just joining us today, just to give you a little context, this is our series lineup. So we have one more slide for that. So the law of co-creation. And these all connect with our unity principles beautifully. So this whole series is really about principle number three, co-create life. And I'm pointing over here if you don't know, those are paintings of each of the principles. And the first one, the C, the law of co-creation, we talked about this partnership with spirit, right? So the first law, the first principle is that there is an allness of God. There is a God, Goddess, spirit, whatever you want to call it. There is an allness, a permeating source in the universe. And so we partner with that. We connect with that. In principle number two, we recognize that there is divine I am inside of us. In the second part of the creation laws, we're drawing, so the third principle, we're drawing from these first two principles. That law of resonance says when I'm aligned with that divine I am in me, it's resonance is not only alignment, but it's an amplification that happens once we are in alignment, once we are in rhythm with spirit. There is an amplified effect to that. So the law of expansion, today's law, is very similar to the law of resonance, but a little bit different. And so we're going to look at that as we expand out, as we step into this way in which we have come to be that is very natural, which is to recognize that we are always expanding. You've heard it said that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. More than likely, you've heard that at some point. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. And so by spiritual law, we recognize that that is so true, that that is the whole experience here is about remembering that truth, that I'm a spiritual being. I'm having a human experience, which is not a less than, I'm having a human experience. It's a privilege, it's an opportunity to be here on earth having a human experience. But to keep remembering, first and foremost, I'm a spiritual being changes everything. So in 1957, there was a group of monks in Thailand who had to move. You've maybe heard me or someone else tell this story before. They had to move this huge Buddhist statue that was made of clay, kind of a plastery clay, from one location to another. And in the process of moving it, a piece fell off. And one of the monks noticed when he shone a light, because it was getting dark out, that the light shone back at him, and so he got very curious to see what it was that was had fallen off and what was being revealed. And what he saw looked like shiny metal, shiny gold metal, so he started to chisel a little bit more away to see, and pretty soon the other monks joined him, and they had uncovered a 5.5-ton golden Buddha that was worth millions of dollars. And they come to understand over time as they look back at history that about 200 years before that, the monks of that same order were under attack by the Burmese army that was coming through, and they knew that their precious golden Buddha would be stolen. And so they got really busy covering it with clay and plaster. And so it was this, out of fear of the stealing, it was covered up, and then in this moment, the truth was being revealed. And so how often is it that in our lifetimes we add, you know, a little clay, a little, especially this area, right? A little plaster, a little more plaster, and right on the back, just in case somebody doesn't have our back, right? We do a lot of extra caking on of plastering up out of fear that somehow we'll get hurt, somehow the good, the difficult, the bad, the things that we're afraid of will get in. But guess what? We block out too when we do this. And when we uncover then, when we let go, we realize, oh my gosh, I'm gold. I have this immense value within myself that I've been covering up. And so that is the truth that gets revealed for us what brings us to the place of discovery, what brought the monk to the place of discovery, what's the key there is curiosity, right? There was curiosity, there was desire, there was motivation. And that's the key for all of us to uncover this gold, this immense value that we have, is to be curious about our spirituality, is to be desiring to know more of it, is to feel a motivation for our spiritual lives. And so it can't be compartmentalized, you know, for I think a long time in our history, we've compartmentalized our spirituality to Sunday morning. You know, so Sunday morning I'll go and I'll do the right thing and I'll whatever it is that we've culturally put upon ourselves. And then we go out and we have a fight with our spouse and we're mean to our children and we, you know, kick somebody's tire. I don't know, you know, that's actually not that. We do some road rage thing, you know. So whatever it is that we do when we act out, right, when things aren't going the way we want them to, we've forgotten, of course, who we are. And we can remember once again, and that having that motivation, that desire, that curiosity is the key. So just asking ourselves, you know, how curious am I? How motivated am I? How desirous am I to reveal the truth of who I am? It's not a difficult process, but it is a decisive one. So I know a couple that's going through a very hurtful divorce right now. And it really plays out the dichotomy of what can happen in the different places we choose to stand. So right now, the wife and the couple is in a place of blame, threats, hurling insults. And she actually told her husband, "I wish you would be more hateful back and less kind. It would make this a lot easier." So you can see that there is a locked-in mentality, right? A locked-in fight going on. And he has made a shift. I mean, he was in the fights before, but he has made a shift. And he's standing in a different place now. And he's noticing something about himself. He said with a lot of passion when I was talking to him the other day, he said, you know, I when she said that to me, I said back, "I don't have that in me. I don't want to do that because I don't see the point," he says, "but I also don't even have that in me." And so there's a recognition that he's seeing about the truth of who he is. Yeah, I can say terrible things and I can, you know, I can be in a fighting mode, but I don't have hate in me. And I'm standing now in a place of kindness and peace evermore because he's seeing who he is. He's recognizing who he is, and he's then showing up accordingly. That's what happens in our lives, right? That's how it is. And, you know, the presence of kindness he's being, she is actually saying, "It's killing me," right? But in a good way, right? It's killing that part of her, if you will. It's receding that egoic part of her that is fighting for its life. And if you are in the presence of somebody who won't engage in that behavior, then you melt into it eventually. You melt into the presence of love. You melt into the presence of kindness. Or you find somebody else to fight with, I guess, is another option, right? Eventually, though, you sink into what's really happening, which is what the Muslims sometimes say is the deeper meaning of the jihad, is the internal jihad. It's the internal war that goes on when the ego is fighting for its life. Now, it doesn't mean we really aren't saying killing. We aren't killing our ego. We're just giving our ego its rightful place. We're saying back down, stand down, step aside, and let the truth, the spirit, the fullness of who I am shine forth. And then you can take your rightful place and do the things you are meant to do to support me in the world. And so that's the dynamic that's being played out with this couple, that's being played out all over the world, that maybe is being played out in your own home in various ways or has been in the past. So you can relate to ways that you might show up either at times in the behavior that the wife is having right now or in that space of recognition of who we are. And standing, as I told him, you are being a peaceful warrior. And that is one of the most courageous, powerful roles you can take, to stand in the face of that kind of chaos and say, "I refuse to bow down to anything but love. I refuse to be anything other than the very presence of kindness, the very presence of light, the very essence of love. And to know when we stand in that place, the transformation beyond our imagination can happen. That potential in ourselves and in the other and in the situation can be awakened far greater than we might have ever thought was possible before. So that's a dynamic that happens for us, or that can happen for us, knowing it's always an individual's choice, right? But if we are being that presence for another, or someone else is being that for us when we are in that kicking, screaming place, it sure can go a long way to help us find ourselves again, find our way back to who we are, with love and compassion for ourselves, even. In that case, you know, hurting people hurt. I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, oh, right. It's such a good thing to remember, right? Hurting people hurt. And they really can't hurt us unless we let them. So when we are in that higher truth, when we are situated, standing in, anchored in that higher truth of our being, it's not really possible for us to be hurt. And that's where we step into this knowing it's not about me. And Don Miguel Ruiz said it beautifully in the Four Agreements, don't take it personally, right? Don't take it personally. It's such a good agreement to live with. It does not mean, however, we don't take responsibility. It doesn't mean that we just put everything on someone else and we say, I don't have a responsibility. I don't have a part in this. We, in fact, when we're standing in the truth of who we are, when we're remembering who we are, when we're one with that divine essence and presence, we are really clear on our responsibility, and we are really clear that it's not ours, that to not take something personally when somebody is trying to be painful, to not let their pain erode our joy and our truth. So, as we say, it takes two to tango, right? And so that's a part of that. But this friend and all of us, really, what does that mean? I mentioned peaceful warrior. What does it look like to be a peaceful warrior? Well, just once again, to remain calm and kind, be that presence, regardless of what is happening to us or around us. And to remember and to hold a greater, deeper truth about not only ourselves, but the other person in the situation. To stand in love. Because when we stand in love, what are we standing in? We're standing in that first principle, right? We're standing in the very essence and presence of God, Goddess, Divine, Spirit, Source, whatever you prefer to call it, the presence. We're standing in love. It's equivalent to all of those things, or whatever it is that is your favorite term, to know that you are in it, you are of it, you are being it in that situation. In your world, in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in your life. We all have the moments of remembering. And up until now, we all have the moments of forgetting. The journey is about not forgetting anymore. The journey is about remembering who we are. That's the difference between all the ascended masters, all those who have become enlightened, and most of us who are on this journey, is that they just never forgot who they are, and who they always have been. So we'll see some examples of that. You know, when we step into this, when we step into this truth, when we connect with it, when we're in it, you know, when I had that experience with Carrie's workshop, I literally like stepped into what felt like the Golden Buddha. It's like, it was like my size became immense. My physical size became immense in my mind's eye. I was bigger than I could have probably seen up into the sky and out onto the sides. And I was in it. I was standing in it. I was becoming it. I was standing up taller and probably in my physicality, you know, because I was feeling it. And that's not all, right? Because we are always evolving. We are always expanding. It is the very nature of creation, of all aspects of creation, of all of us, of each one of us sitting here to expand and to expand and to expand. And when we have those moments where we see and feel and know and hear the truth about ourselves, there's no going back. It is an absolute non-negotiable. I am that I am that I am. I am the very essence of light. I am the very essence of love. I am tagging it to the earth. I am tying it to the earth. I am bringing it forth into the earth because I am here not only to expand my individual being, or you are not only here to expand your own individual being, but to share it, right? What's the last part of our mission statement? Yeah. Yeah, we don't just say we're expanding and living our divinity just because. We say in sacred service for all. In sacred service for all. Because to what end? To give it out, to help us all, to lift us up, to awaken the world, to create a different kind of experience on earth. It's already pretty darn good, and it can be amazing. And our lives are already pretty good, and they can be amazing. We can have lives free of dis-ease. We can have lives free of the kind of fighting I was talking about going on with this couple. We can have lives free of these kinds of grievances. I'm not saying we won't have challenges, because challenges come so that we can grow. Challenges come so that we can keep expanding out. That's life. That's what we signed up for. That's part of life. I'm not saying we won't ever feel pain again, but we won't wallow in our suffering anymore, because we could just unzip one reality and step into it, and suddenly we are the Christ itself. We are the Buddha nature. We are growing in size and immensity and vastness and bigness and completeness and fullness, because we have touched that which that we are in truth. And there is no limit anymore to that. There is no limit in the mind, in the body. We are limitless. We are without limit. I am free and unlimited. I've let myself out. Yes? And we all, you're clapping because you know how that feels. Because we all want more of that. We see it, we glimpse it, we hear it, and then we go, wow, now I'm curious. Now I'm motivated. Now I'm desiring to live more of this spiritual journey, because I'm seeing as I live more of this spiritual journey, there's more of it to share, and there's more of it to experience, and there's more to remember, and there's more for me to be in this complete partnership with the essence of the God, Goddess, Spirit, Source, Divine that I am. This is really fun. It is really fun. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think, like today I was thinking, you know, do I expect too much? Because, I mean, I was called into ministry. You all weren't called into ministry, but you were. You were. Not in this way necessarily. But you were, because you're here, because we're part of the soul family, because we're this thing called unity. I mean, what could be a better name? We have that old symbol. I love our old symbol. In fact, maybe we should bring it back. With the consciousness rising with the wings that look like the wings of Isis. And that's the symbol that Charles Fillmore came up with. And the name Unity came to him in meditation. I'm not saying unity's the only answer, but it's a really good one. There's many answers. There's many paths out there. There's many ways to the truth. We just all happen to find this one. And so it's like, this is so fun. And so I guess what I really want to inspire, not expect, but inspire, is that you have the curiosity, that you have the desire, that you have the motivation to know more of who you are. Because the more you know, the more you see, the more you experience, you will be blown away at the possibilities of who and recognition of what you really have come here to be and to do. And what is possible in your life. There will be no more time for this silly little bickering, this low-level stuff that we get engaged in all the time. There will be no, we don't want to spend our time there anymore. We don't want to fetter away our lives with that kind of stuff anymore. We'll just be the peaceful warrior, be the one who puts a stake in the ground and says, I take a stand for love because I know who I am, and I take a stand for love in the midst of this chaos and this conflict and this war, wherever we are on the planet. That's the good that we have to share. That's the good that expands out into the universe. It touches every corner of this universe. We don't have to be present with anybody physically because why? We're a human being. We're having a human experience, but we're a spiritual being. So our energy is powerful and potent out into the cosmos, deep into the earth, across all of humanity. When one of us wakes up, we all wake up a little more. That is good stuff, right? Who in this room is going to wake up a little more today? Yeah? All of us, all of us. And so it is as we recognize, as we remember, you know, it's you think about examples across the planet. It's like Nelson Mandela did things that you didn't think were possible, right? He was in prison. For goodness sakes, you know, but somehow, somewhere along the way, he woke up, he awakened, he remembered who he was. And then he doesn't seem like he forgot because it expanded out and changed an entire nation from apartheid and bigotry and horrible things, divisiveness that were happening to one another, to that era that was beyond apartheid, to a place of inclusivity and harmony. Did it stay perfect? No, of course not. But there was this incredible experience of expansion that happened when one man remembered who he was. And we can be that one person in any situation, in your home, in your neighborhood, in the place that you work, in your community, and it will affect the whole world. Because it's all energy. It's all spirit. That's what we have to keep remembering. You know, Jesus said, I am in this world, but not of it. And I love that statement because he's saying, I'm here. I'm engaged. I am tethered to the earth. I am, subjected to the law of gravity, and I'm working every spiritual principle I know. Why? Because I'm not of it. I'm not of it. I'm not just third-dimensional reality. I'm not just a physical body and a mind. I am so much more than that. So I'm not of it. I come from elsewhere. I come from something bigger. I come from the light itself. But I'm here. I'm engaged. I'm in it. I love every minute of it. I'm a part of the earthly reality. That's what we have to remember to walk in the footsteps of this elder brother, this way shower that is Jesus, this ascended master who never forgot who he was. And that's who we are. This is what we're about. This is what we're doing now. Oh. Yeah. Any day now, we're going to have some light language up in this place. Definitely next Sunday. For all of us, for all of us, for all of us here, our healing, right? You know, I think about my friends that are going through this divorce, and I think about the woman who's lost herself right now in this just absolute heartbreak and, you know, all the stuff that goes with that. And, you know, what Jesus told Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to him the night and said, how do you do what you do? You know, and he went to him the night because his contemporaries couldn't know because they were threatened by Jesus, right? And it was the night because he was asking the spiritual secret, how do you do what you do? And Jesus said, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus said, what? Born again? I'm a full-grown man. I'm an old man. What do you mean? And to re-enter my mother's womb and be born again? But see, he couldn't understand the instructions beyond the physical plane. He wasn't recognizing who he was, so he couldn't see beyond just mind and body and physical understanding and third-dimensional reality. And Jesus was giving him the secret teaching he had asked for. You must be born of water and of spirit. What does that mean? You know, I think about my friend, and if she was washed over by the living waters of spirit, all that childhood trauma would go away. In an instant, all that would be behind her. And in that instant, then she could like let go of all of the defenses, right, that are up, and then begin to maybe even get a glimpse of the brilliant truth of who she is. In the presence of somebody who will stand in love, there is a much better chance that that will happen. When we are born of water, the water releases. The water lets go. That's the element of water, right? It's a purifier. It's an element that releases whatever's standing in our way. And when we're born of spirit, we're that element of air, right? We're that element that knows it's so much more. It can fly. It's full of potential. And so that's what Jesus was telling us, was you must be born again in a different way. You must understand yourself to be something different than only a physical being with a mental capacity. Because your mental capacity is so much greater, your body is made of light, and so on and so forth, right? So there are so many gems available to us, so many teachings and pointers from great teachers that have come before us that keep pointing us to the same thing, recognizing the truth of who we are. But it will take your curiosity. It will take your determination. It will take your motivation. It will take a little bit of desire to know and experience and live more of your spiritual truth in your daily life, to be the spiritual being that you are here, fully in the world, just not of it. So Charles Fillmore said, "I am one with the infinite law of expansion." He's the co-founder of Unity. He said, "I am one with the principle of never ceasing growth and development toward the fulfillment of God's perfect idea that is firmly fixed in all of creation. Divine law," he said, "cannot be broken." Divine law is there. Spiritual law is there. These laws are available to us to work. These laws are available for us to align with. These laws are available for us to know. But they will take us saying, "I'm curious about who I am." Are you curious?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's affirm this truth, this law, and get to work. How about it? Together? "I recognize who I am, and my divine essence expands into lived experience." And so it is. And thank you to all of you online who are remembering who you are.